The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Gemara in Masech Tishabes, and Av Kofala from the Beis, says as follows. Tana Rabbonim, the rabbis taught, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beisoy. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is that each night one candle should be lit for the entire household. This is the basic mitzvah. Amahadrin, Ner Lechol Echad Ve'Echad. Those who pursue mitzvahs and want to fulfill the mitzvahs even in a better fashion, say every member of the household lights a candle, one candle each night. Amahadrin min Mahadrin. And those who want to pursue the mitzvah in an even greater fashion and beautify the mitzvah even more, Beishama Emrim Yemrishin Madlich Shmeinam, Ikan Ve'ilach Polches Ve'ilach. Beishama says, on the first night you light 8 candles, and the second night you light 7, and the third night you light 6, and so on. Every night you diminish in the number of candles. And Beisila Emrim Yemrishin Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'elech Meisi Ve'elech. That the first night you light one candle, the second night you add a second candle, the third night you add another candle, Meisi Ve'elech. Omar Ula. Ula said, Pligi Botrei Amoroi B'Marova, Rabbi Yisi Barabin, Rabbi Yisi Barzvido. There was a machlekes in Eretz Yisrael as to there's a difference of opinions as to what are the reasons of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Chad Omar, one said, Tamid the Beis Shammai keneged yomim ha-nichnosin, but Tamid the Beis Hillel keneged yomim ha-yotzin. That Beis Shammai said that you signify with the candles how many days of Hanukkah are yet to come. On the first night there are 8 days. On the second night there are 7, the third there are 6. So therefore you start with 8, and you light 7, and you light 6, and so forth. And Beisilo Emrim Yemrishain Madlik Achas, and Beisilo says, Keneged Yomim Hanichnosim, Keneged Yomim Hanichnosim, that, excuse me, Keneged Yomim Hayotzin, that you signify how many days of Hanukkah has gone by. So therefore the first night is 1, and the second night is 2, third night is 3, and so forth. That was one opinion as to what the reasonings of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are. Chad Omar, another opinion was, time of the Beis Shammai keneged Pri Achag, that Beis Shammai keneged compared this to the bullocks which were brought on Sukkot. You started with a greater number, and every day throughout Sukkot the number diminished. These were the sacrifices. The time of the Beis Hillel, and the reasoning of Beis Hillel is the Malin Bekedesh Vein Meriden. That all the time when we do a mitzvah, or we have something to do with Kedusha, we do not start at the highest point and go down, but to the contrary, we start at the lowest point and go up. So therefore we have here where the Gemara says that the essence of the mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beisoy, to light one candle every night, a single candle, for the entire household. The Mahadrin, those who beautify the mitzvahs, they light Ner Lechol Echad Ve'Echad. every member of the household lights a single candle each night. B'ma'adrin mina ma'adrin. And those who wish to beautify the mitzvahs even more, so they do not light a single candle every night, but they light a correspondent number of candles each night to the days of Hanukkah. Except in this, there's a machlekes, an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that you start with 8, and then you next night 7, the third night 6. One of the reasons is brought keneged yomim hanichnosim, because that's how many days there are left of Hanukkah. Another reason is brought keneged priyachag, because when it came to the sacrifices of the bullocks and sukkahs, you started with a larger number, and every day you diminished. And Beis Hillel Emrim, the opinion of the Beis Hillel is, as you start with the lowest number, you start with 1, keneged yomim hanichnosim. How many days, keneged yomim hayotzin, how many days of Hanukkah have gone by? So therefore, the first night you light once, the second night 2, until you build up to 8 candles. And another reason given in Beis Sefer Beis Hillel is Malin Bekedish Vein Meriden, that when we do a mitzvah, or we have something to do with Kedusha, you do not start at the highest point and diminish, but rather you start at the lower point and go upward. This is what the Gemara tells us. Now, we can ask a number of questions. Firstly, we can understand the Mahadrin, because this we find many times, that even though someone, it's sufficient for one to do the mitzvah, there are times we find when everyone can join in and do their own mitzvah. So therefore, the Mahadrin, those who pursue the mitzvah, even though if the head of the household would light one candle, it would be sufficient. Everyone lights one candle on the first night, and the same thing on the second night, everyone will light one candle. But what is this with the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? Generally, we do not find at all Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. I don't know if we find it in other places. If we do, it's very rare. Also, what is this that we light 8 candles, 7 candles, 6 candles, 1 candle, 2 candles, 3 candles each night? And secondly, we do not light the same number of candles every night. We either add or we diminish. And then what is the machlekes, what is the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the meaning of their various reasonings? Another question we can ask. The miracle of Hanukkah was because of the miracle which took place in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash had 7 candles. It was lit every day in the afternoon, burnt all night. According to this Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, the menorah of Hanukkah is going to be a menorah of 8 candles, because you're going to have to light 8 candles either on the first day like Beis Shammai or on the 8th day like Beis Hillel. It comes out as a greater menorah than the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, in which there was the actual miracle that we are celebrating. Another question we can ask, if we'll have time to come to that, and that is, shortly after this, on Daf Chof Beis, beginning of Omer Aleph, right in the middle of the entire sugya, entire Gemara that deals with the laws of Hanukkah, Omer of Kahano, Rav Kahana said, Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Min Yumei Mishmei Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Min Yumei darshaned in the name of Rav Tanchum. May dechsi vahaborek ein bo mayim. In Parshas Vayeshev, it states that the brothers went and they took a hold of Joseph, and they wanted to kill him. They threw him into a bor, a pit. The Torah tells us, "Vahabor reikin b'mayim." The bor was empty; there was no water. So Rav Kahana brings a drosha. Since it says in the Torah that the bor was empty, the pit was empty, I know there was no water in it. So why does the Torah have to tell me there's no water in it? To tell me, there was no water in it. It was empty from water, but it was not totally empty. There were snakes and scorpions. Now, firstly, what does he want to teach us with that, the Rosho? But secondly, even more difficult is, what is this doing here? Right in the middle of the whole sugya of Hanukkah, we have this Rosho, which seemingly has nothing at all to do with Hanukkah. Let's see if we can shed some light on these questions. Before we go further, though, I'd like to read, to get a little background into what took place, I would like to read from what is called Megillas, we pronounce it, we always pronounce it Antiochus. Here it's pronounced Antiochus. Megillas Antiochus, or it's also known as Megillas Yevonis Megillas Antiochus. When I was in New York last year, somehow this came to my hands. This is a Megillah. This is a historical work on what took place during Hanukkah. Now, we have what is known as Megillas Hanukkah, but this is different. And there are a number of variations. And this was something which the manuscript was found and therefore was printed. And it's a very, very old manuscript. It's brought that it's one of the oldest we have that deals with Hanukkah. And it's also brought that in a city called Kaffa, which I think might have been either in Spain or Italy, many, many hundreds of years ago, Noagin, it was their custom that on Shabbos Hanukkah to Mincha, they would read this Megillah Berabim. They would read this publicly in the shuls, the Pesumei Niso, in order to be mafarsim, to publicize the miracle which took place. At any rate, I'd like to read a good part of this, and it'll give us a good idea as to what went on. It states, "Vayhi bimei Antiochus melech Yovan." It was during the time of Antiochus, the king of Yovan. Yovan was the great empire. Now, incidentally, this was taking place during the second Beis Hamikdash. It was after the story of Purim. The Jews were exiled by the Babylonians. They went into godless Babel, and who destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. They were 70 years in that exile, and from there they found their way also to Shushan and to Parasamodai, the Persian-Median Empire, because the Persian-Median Empire had defeated the Babylonians. And that's where they came into contact with Kadesh, Cyrus the Great, and eventually Ahasuerus. And then there was a Dariovash, the son of Ahasuerus, Darius, and he allowed them to go back to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. But then, during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Persian Empire was defeated by the Greek Empire. And this was Alexander the Great. And it was after Alexander the Great, and this was the time of Antiochus, that he decided that he's ruling the world now, and he wants to conquer Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And that's the story of Hanukkah, when it takes place. So it was during the time of Antiochus Melech Yovan. Melech Godel v'chosoko yevetaki v'memshalte. He was an enormous, strong king, was a strong empire. And all of the nations of the world were listening to him. And he went and he conquered empires, and he burnt their palaces, and he imprisoned their noblemen. And from the time of Alexander the Great, there was not another king like him. And he built a great province on the shores of the sea, and that was his Beis Malchus. This was his capital city, and he called it Medina Antiochia, which was after his name. And then he had a Mishneh, he had a deputy who was named Bagrish, and he also built nearby a capital city, and he called it Bagrish, also after his name. And it states these are still existing. And it was in the 23rd year of his reign, which was 213 years after the building of the Beis Hamikdash, that he decided that he's going to go up against Jerusalem. And he said to all of his ministers and all of his generals, he says, you know, the Yehudim, the Jews which are in Jerusalem, they do not sacrifice to our gods, they do not keep our statutes, they keep their own, and they hope and they pray for the fall of our empire. And they say, Mosayim lechaleinu malkeinu, when will our king be able to rule over the entire world? So therefore, it's ein kovod l'malchus l'aniach eile al pnei adoma. It's not honor to our kingdom that these people should be here. Let us go up to Yerushalayim, unevatel mehem asabris asher koras lehem Shabbos Rish Chodesh u'Milah, and we will destroy from them their Shabbos, their Rish Chodesh, their Bris Milah. And all of his ministers and his generals thought this was a very, very good idea. So he sent one of his great deputies, who was known as Nikonor, with an Amrov, with a great nation, and they came to Yerushalayim. And there they killed many, many Yehudim. And they went to the Beis Hamikdash, and they built there an altar. And this was the place which Hashem had told his prophets that he would dwell there. And in that place they went and they took a chazir, a pig, and they shechted it. And they brought the blood into the Ezras HaKodesh, into the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. When Yehonan, the son of Matishohu, Kohen Gadol, at that time the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was Matishohu, and his son was Yehonan, when he heard this, he became enormously angry, and the whole radiance of his face changed, and he tried to think of what to do, and he decided that he would make himself a small sword, the length of 2 handbreadths. And the width of 1 handbreadth. And he put it beneath his cloak. And he went to Yerushalayim, and he went to the gates of where the king was, by the Beis Hamikdash. And he called out to the guards, and he said, I am Yehonan, the son of Matishohu. I have come to see Nikonor. And when the Shemrim, the guards, heard that the son of the Kohen Gadol of the Jews has come, they told Nikonor, and he was all excited. He says, because this is the most prestigious family of the Jews, and no doubt he wants to make peace with us. So he said, let him come in. And Yehonan said before Nikonor, he says, I have come, and I will do what you want. So Nikonor said, if you'll do as I want, then you will take a chazir, a swine, and you will shecht it. And you will sacrifice it here, on this boma, on this altar. And then we will garment you in the clothing of royal clothing. And we will ride you on the horse of the king, like those who are close to the king. And when Yehonan heard this, he said to the king, he said, I'm afraid, though, if I will do this, the Jews will stone me and they'll kill me. He said, look, send away everyone who's here now, so they will not know what we're talking about, and they will not be able to tell any of the Jews what I'm thinking of doing. So Nikona sent them all away. Then Yochanan ben Matishyahu lifted his eyes l'shamayim to heaven, betikin tfilosa lifnei elakov, and he said a prayer before Hashem, and he said, Elakai v'lekei avoisa Avram Yitzhak v'Yakov, the God and the God of our fathers, Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov, al tidneni no biyar orel azeh, do not give me over to the hands of this uncircumcised person, kim yargeni yelech v'yishtabach bebeis dogen elohov, because if he will kill me, he will go to his idolatry, the Greek god, and he will say that it was their god that gave me over to him. Then he took 3 steps forward, he took out his small sword, and he stabbed the Niknor in his heart, and then he took his body and threw him into the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. And then he said to the god, God of the Yehudim, please do not hold it as a sin that I have killed a man in your Beis Hamikdash. And now give unto my hands also all of the nations that will stand up against us. Then Yehonan went out on that day, and he gathered a force, and he fought against the Greeks, and he killed many that day. And the numbers killed were 700 and 2,000. It's either there's 2 texts here, either 700 and 2,000 or 772,000. When he returned, they built a pillar, and they called him Maccabi Memis HaChazokim, the Maccabi, the one who kills the strong ones. When Amjuchas heard that his chief deputy Nikonor was killed, he was very upset over this, and he called to Bagrish, and he said, you know what happened, and so forth and so on. He says, now I'm relying on you. You go and take your army and destroy from them the bris, the covenant which they had made with Hashem, their God, in Shabbos and Rish Chodesh and Milo. So Bagrish took all of his camps, and he came to Yerushalayim, and he made a tremendous holocaust. And then he made a decree, a total decree, against anyone keeping Shabbos or Rish Chodesh or Bris Milo. And they found a man who circumcised his son, and they took that man, and they took his wife, and they hung the man in the presence of his child. And then they found a woman. Then there was a woman who circumcised her son, and she went up on the walls of Yerushalayim together with her son, and she shouted out, and she said, Bagris HaRosho, Bagris the wicked, you think that you will destroy from us the covenant which Hashem has made with our fathers? You will not. Shabbos Reish Chodesh U'Milo B'mnei Voneinu Lo Yosor, we will not forsake the Shabbos Reish Chodesh of the Milo. And she threw her son off the walls, and then she jumped off the walls, and they were both killed. And many of the Yehudim did this. Then they took counsel with each other, and they said that we cannot keep Shabbos. Let us go into a cave, and there we will keep Shabbos. Meanwhile, this was told to Bagrish. So he took his armies and he came to the cave, and he said, Jews, come out and eat from our bread and drink our wine and do as we do, and we will let you live. And the Jews answered, and they said, we remember what Hashem commanded us on Har Sinai, Sheshis Yomim Tavid, Vesisako Malach Techa, V'yemash V'yitishbais, 6 days you shall work, and the 7th day you will rest. Therefore, it's better that we shall die in the cave and not desecrate the Shabbos. So he went and he gathered wood, and they made a great fire in the mouth of the cave, and that day 1,000 men and women died. After that, the five sons of Matishohu, Yochanan and his four brothers, they went and they fought a great war against them. And they won the war, and they drove out Bagris out of the land. Bagris then went, and he got onto a ship, and he sailed to Antiochus the king, together with those that remained. And he told Antiochus the king, he said, "You told us to destroy from the Yehudim Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Nila. They have rebelled." He says, if all of the nations will go up against those five sons of Matishohu, he says, they are like lions. They are stronger like lions. Me'aroyes heim chazokim, u'mereshorim heim kalim. And they're quicker than eagles. U'midubim heim amaharim. And they're quicker than bears. Therefore, he said to the king, "I will give you an etzah, a counsel. Do not fight against them with small armies, because they will humiliate you. Send your documents to kol medinas malchusecho, to all of your empires. You rule over the whole world. And let the sorei achayolos, let every army in your empire come forth. Lo yishore mehem echod, let there not remain even one behind. Vegam pilim beluboshim shiryenim yuimohem. And also bring armored elephants with you. And we will go all together, all the armies of the world, against the Yehudim and those five." Vayital adover b'nei Antiochus HaMelech. And Antiochus HaMelech said, "This is good." And he sends for him to all Medinais Malchusai. And all of the princes and the generals of all of the nations came. And also elephants in armor came. And then Bagris came. And they went up to Yerushalayim. Boka Achema. They broke the walls of Yerushalayim. Vainate Kamovai. And the gates. And they went into the Beis HaMikdash, and they broke into the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash walls, in 13 places. Here there's a note that in Masechta Midos, Perek Beis Yud Gimel, it speaks of the 13 breaks in the wall of the Surog that the Malchei Yoven, that the kings of Greece, broke through. And later, when they were repaired, so the sages enacted that when you come to these 13 places, you have to bow to Hashem. And they also took the stones of Yerushalayim, and they broke them and pulverized them into dust. And they said, "This time we will wipe them out." But Velakeh Hashemayim lo choshev came. But the God of heavens was not in agreement. And when the five sons of Matishohu heard this, they gathered in Gilod, Mitzpeh Gilod, which was the place where, in the time of Shmuel Hanavi, Israel gathered, and they decreed a fast, and they put ashes upon themselves, and they prayed to Hashem, Oznofa belibam etzatova, and then Hashem gave them counsel. Yehuda HaBachor, Matishoh called all of his five sons together. And Yehuda was the firstborn, Shimon the second, Yechanan the third, Jonas in the fourth, and Elozah the fifth. He blessed them and he said, Yehuda v'ni Adama iskol Yehuda ben Yaakov ha-shoyanim shel Aryeh. He says, Yehuda, you are like Yehuda the son of Yaakov, which was like a lion, compared to the lion. Shimon, he said, you are like Shimon the son of Yaakov, which killed off all of the dwellers of Shechem. That's in this week's parsha. Yochanan, he said, you are like Avner ben Ner, Sar Tzavo Yisrael, Abner, who was the general of the armies of Dovid HaMelech. Yonasan b'ni, he says, Yonasan, my son, you are like Yonasan ben Shaul. You are like Yonasan, the son of Shaul, who killed the Plishtim, the Philistines. Elozer b'ni, he says, you are like Pinchas ben Elozer, who took revenge. And Hitzelus b'nei Yisrael went with the case of the Legionim. And he sent out all five in one day, and they went and they waged war against all of the armies. And they waged a great war and they killed many. But Yehuda was killed. But this is something which is not a different version than in the other Megillus. At this time, when the brothers saw that Yehuda was killed, they became very depressed and they returned to the father. And he said, why did you come back? The war is not over. And they said, because Yehuda, our brother, has been killed. And he was equal to all of us. And Matisho, their father, said, "Ani etzei mochem v'ilochem ba'amim. Pen yevdu beish Yisrael v'atem nivaltem al achichem. I will go and fight in this place. You are depressed because of your brother, and all of Israel will be lost." V'yetzei Matisho b'yem ahu im banov. Matisho was an old man, but he went and he fought together with his sons. And they fought against the nations, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all of the mighty of the nations into their hands, and they killed every one of them, everyone that was holding a sword and everyone that had a bow, and all of their soldiers. Leinesa behem sorid, almost one didn't remain, and the few that remained fled from the land. And Elozer went and he killed all of the armored elephants. And they took their enemies, and some shorfu be'esh, they burnt, and others they executed with the sword, and others they hung on the trees. And Antiochus the king, when he heard then Magris they caught and they burnt him. When Antiochus the king heard that Bagris was killed and his entire army is wiped out, he went on a boat and he took his few people and he fled to Medina Sayom, to far off lands. And wherever he would come, his people would rebel against him and they would call him the Bereach, the refugee. Then the Hashmonaim came to the Beis Hamikdash and they rebuilt the gates. And they rebuilt the walls, and they purified the courtyards from all of the those that were dead and from all of the tumas. And they looked for oil, and they could only find one flask of oil that was sealed with the ring of the Kohen Gadol, and there was enough to light for one day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose name dwelled there, gave it brocha, and it lit for 8 days. Therefore, the Hashmonaim enacted that for 8 days should be days of festivities, of simcha, like the Yom Tovim, and they should light candles to let everyone know of the great victory of Hashem. These are days when you shouldn't fast and you shouldn't eulogize. Except they did not decree that one cannot do work on these days. And from that time on, there was no longer a shame, no longer a reputation left to the Malchus Yavon, to the empire, to the Greek empire. And the Kashmonoim became the kings, and this lasted for another 206 years until the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, the Jews all over, wherever they might be, they keep Hanukkah on this day from the 25th of Kislev for 8 days in order to remember these days. And this should not cease from them forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who fulfilled this great victory and this great miracle, should fulfill for us other such miracles, and should be fulfilled, Ki Meitzeischo Meretz Mitzrayim Ha'areno Niflois, Amen. That we should see from the going out of Egypt, we should see again great miracles like we saw when we went out of Egypt. This is the story from the Megillas Hanukkah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it is brought that he created two worlds. As it states in Yeshayahu, Ki b'yud-hei Hashem tzur elamim. He created the worlds, plural, and he created it with a yud and a hei. This was the Olam HaTachtein and the Olam HaElyon, the lower worlds and the upper worlds. The lower worlds, Olam HaTachtein, this is the what we call the Olam HaTeva, the world of the world which is ruled by the physical nature. This world was given under the rule of the Shemesh, of the sun. That's why we find in Geheles the statement Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. There is nothing new beneath the sun. Or we find in Bereishis Eshtei HaMeoros HaMeor HaGodol LeMemsheles HaYom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two great lights, the great light to rule the day. This was the sun, because this is the strongest physical force, and this rules the physical world. This is the master of the physical nature. Then there's the Olam HaElyon, the upper worlds. And this is the world which is beyond the physical nature, and is Bilti Gashmi, a non-physical world. Basically, he created Olam Hazeh, this world, with the Dalet. The reason for the Dalet is because the Dalet has an Erech and a Rechev. You make a Dalet with a vertical line and a horizontal line. And the horizontal line and the vertical line represents dimensions, space and dimensions. And this is what the physical world is made of. And also, it represents four. Dalet is the numerical value of four. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, he took four elements. Ofer, Mayim, Esh, V'ruach. He took the earth, water, fire, and air, mixed it all together. So everything in this world has some portion of that. And also, it is referred to the Elam HaPirud, the world which was divided into fours, as it states in the creation of the world, Venar Yotze Me'Eden, there was a river that came out of Eden, V'hoye La'arba Roshim, and it split into four tributaries. Olam HaElyon, the non-physical world, this he created with the Yud, because the Yud represents something which is not Gashmi, something which is not physical. Because there is no dimension to the Yud. The Yud, basically, you can write with an akuda, with a dot. And a dot has no dimension. As small as you want to make it, it's still a dot, it's still an akuda. And therefore, it's also impossible to subdivide. And this also represents, therefore, the Olam HaAchdus. Not a world of division, but a world of unity. And this was the Nahar Yotze Me'Eden. It came from one source. But when it came into this world, it was divided. And also, Eser represents 10, the number 10. And the number 10 represents the end of all of the numbers. And The Gemara always tells us Asiri Kedish Bechol Mokum, Le'elam Asiri Kodesh. It represents Kedusha, sanctification. Now we can ask though, accordingly then, the upper world was created with the Yud and the lower world was created with the Dalet. But it states, Kibukor, with the Yud Hei, Hashem Sur Elomim. He created the lower world, the physical world, with the Hei, not with the Dalet. And this the Maral explains because the Hei is a combination of a Dalet and a Yud. If you write a Dalet, and then at the bottom of the Dalet, on the left side, you put a Yud, you will have a Hey. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he did not want it merely to be a physical world which is divorced from the spiritual world. But he wanted them to be bonded together. So therefore he took a Yud, which represents the non-physical world, the spiritual world, the world of sanctity, and he placed it in the Dalet, and he used that for creation. And therefore this world also had the spiritual element to bond it to the Olam HaElyon, to the higher world. And this is the Olam HaZeh and the Olam HaBo. Now, in this world, our world that we live in, firstly we find six dimensions in it, the Sheshi Shemei Melocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu created in 6 days. And we also find seven dimensions in it because of Shabbos. And Shabbos was part of the Bria, part of the creation. As we see, it's counted amongst the creation. That's all part of this world. From the other aspect, though, we do not find any time, at the time of the creation, in Parshas Bereishis, where anything should be mentioned about Torah or mitzvahs. Why not? We'll find everything that was created in the physical world, and we'll find Shabbos also. But nothing mentioned about the creation of Torah and mitzvahs. The reason for that is because Torah and mitzvahs were not created during the 7 days of creation. They were created long before. The Gemara tells us that the Perkei Mekiva, Masechta Shabbos, that the Torah was created Tov Tov Kuf Ein Dalet Doros, 974 generations before the creation of the world. Rashi explains why that calculation, because it states Torah Tziva Le'elav Dor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Torah to the 1,000th generation. And Torah was given to the 26th generation for Moreh Ma'arishon, which was Meisha. He was 26 generations after the first man. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it to the 1,000th generation after it was created. So from there we learn that it was created 974 generations before the creation. It's from here that we learn that the level of Torah is far beyond the level of this world. And the Chazal tell us that this world is a world of 6 and 7, 6 days of Malocha, the 7th day of Shabbos, which is all part of this world. The world of Torah is from the level of 8, 9, and 10, which is beyond the physical world. This is why we find that Torah, when it was given to Klal Yisrael, it was given in the 8th week, after 7 weeks of counting of Sfira, 49 days, at the beginning of the 8th week it was given. This is why when David HaMelech praises Torah in Kipitl Simon Kuf Yutesh, in Tehillim, he praises Torah with the entire Aleph Beis. He writes 8 praises with every letter. eight praises with the Aleph, eight praises with the Beis, and so forth. This is all to, because the Torah is beyond this world of ours. And this is why Torah is called Teiras Hashem Tumimo. Torah is complete, total. It is not lacking. Our world is lacking. But the Torah is lacking nothing. And we find further then when Hashem wanted to make a covenant with Abraham, he said that I will choose you and your children to receive the Torah. So he said, but you have to be tamim. You have to be total. You cannot lack, because you can't have Torah if you're lacking. So he said in Parshas Lech Lecha, V'yisalech lefana ve'hei tamim. Walk before me, and you will be tamim. And what did he give him? He gave him as his covenant the Bris Milah. And the Bris Milah is B'yem Shmini, on the eighth day. The eighth day when a child is 8 days old. Now, the Yevonim, the Greek Empire, they were a mighty empire. They ruled the entire world at that time, before Alexander the Great. And they excelled in particular in wisdom. And this we've gone into length many times before. We're not going to go do that this evening. But the Greeks, this empire, had a brocha. The brocha goes back to Noach, who gave to his son Yephus, and from the Yephus came Yovan. They had excelled enormously in wisdom. And they came to the highest levels possible for the human intellect to understand the physical world. And they had enormous great people. Aristotle, Hippocrates, and so forth. And this is what our Gemara tells us: im yesh im yemalochodom yesh chokma bagoyim tamim. If someone tells you there is wisdom amongst the nations of the world, you should believe him. But all of this wisdom that they had, which was in every field of the human and physical intellect. It was in the field of medicine, and the field of philosophy, and the field of astronomy, the field of science, in the field of engineering and architecture, whatever it was. This was all limited, though, to this world, to the world, to the dimension of seven. Torah, the wisdom of Torah, this was given only to Israel, not to the nations of the world. It was offered to them, but they refused it. So all of the wisdoms that they had were the physical wisdoms, were the secular wisdoms, the wisdoms of this world. But beyond that, they could not reach. This is why the Gemara tells us, "Im yemaloch odom yesh Torah bagoyim al tamim." That if someone will tell you there is Torah by the nations, do not believe him. She ain't here rak by Israel, because Torah is only by Israel. This is what they could not tolerate with Israel. All of the nations of the world have submitted themselves to us. They have all become our culture. They have all taken on our language, our mythologies, our ideologies, our idolatries, whatever it might be. But there's still a nation that they keep Shabbos, they keep Rosh Chodesh, they keep Rosh Milah. They keep the laws of their God. And this is what they could not tolerate, that level. And this is why they rose up against Klal Yisrael. This is why it states in the Alanisim, Lashkichom Yitiresecho Ulaaviro Mechukei Ratzonecho. They rose up against Yisrael in order to remove from them their Torah and to remove from them all of the mitzvahs and the statutes which you have commanded them. This is why they said, join us and be like one of us. Because the seichel, the intellect, wants to be the master and wants to rule. And they were the intellect of all of the nations, and therefore they wanted to rule. This is why also we find that in particular we find a special emphasis that they had against Bris Milah, because the Bris Milah represented that Israel were muhan, they were prepared, they were designed for Torah. Now they were enormously mighty, not only in their physical strength, but in their madreig and their level. As we see, they came to Yerushalayim, they reached Yerushalayim, they broke the walls of Yerushalayim, they reached the Beis HaMikdosh, they broke the walls of the Beis HaMikdosh. Now this takes a mighty strength, not just a military strength, but a mighty strength to be able to do this. Because this is Hashem's land. It's Hashem's Beis HaMikdosh. We see they reached the Heichel. The Gemara tells us, Timu es kol hashmonim shebeheichel. They caused all of the oil in the Heichel to be impure. The Heichel was the Kodesh. In the Beis HaMikdosh, there were your courtyards, and then the most holy places. And the most holy places were called the Heichel. The Heichel was subdivided. You had your outer chambers of the Heichel, and then you had your Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy parts. They reached the Heichel, the outer chambers of it. Timu es kol hashmonim shebeheichel. They caused impurities to all of the oil in the Heichel. And the fact of the oil, this also represents something. Because shemen, oil, is what we use for kedusha, for sanctification. When we want to give sanctification to the vessels of the Beis HaMikdosh, we use oil. To the kahanim, we use oil. When we want to sanctify our kings, we use oil. This was all the shemen zayis, the olive oil. So we see they were able to reach and to extend even into the Kedusha, into the sanctification of the Heichel. Now, why was this? The answer to this is because the Heichel, even though it is of such great height, it still has an itztarfus, it still has a bond to this world. And they had become masters over this world. How do we see it still has a bond to this world? Because one of your main items that was in the Heichel was the Menorah HaTorah, the menorah, the golden menorah. And the menorah was a candelabra with seven candles, which represented the 7 days of creation. So we see that the Heichel, with its great height, still though was considered part of this world. And therefore they were able to reach the Heichel and to be matame and to cause impurity to all of the Shmonim. to all of the oil. That menorah was burnt, was lit every day with the Shemen Zayis, with the pure olive oil. We find also that the Kohen Hedjot, this was the ordinary Kohen, even though he was sanctified, but the ordinary Kohen was allowed to go into the Hechel whenever it was necessary for him to do so. However, further than that, they could not reach. They did not manage to penetrate the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of the Holies. Why was that? It just states, Kol Shemen Timu es Kol HaShmonim Shebehechel, but not further. Why was that? The Maral writes, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not part of this world, the Holy of Holies. That already represents a dimension from 8 to 10. How do we see this? Firstly, no one was ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not even a Kohen, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol. Only the Kohen Gadol, the greatest of all of the Kohen. He had Kiddushi Yisera. He had an extra dimension of sanctification over his regular sanctification as a Kohen, over his regular sanctification as Israel. So only he was allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he was known as the Ben Shmeinah Begodim. Every Kohen would wear 4 garments all of the time. He all of the time would wear 8 garments. This represented a dimension beyond this world. And when was he allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Not whenever he wanted, not whenever it was necessary. B'zeis Yovei Aaron El HaKodesh, only on one day of the year, and that was the 10th day of Chodesh Tishrei, the 10th day of the 7th month. Chodesh HaShvi Be'Eser LeChodesh on Yom Kippur, which had the Kedusha of Asiri of 10. And this was this demonstrated that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was not part of this world. It was already a different world. And what was so special about the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why? Why was it not part of this world? Because it states, Ve'ein b'kodesh rak arein habris. Because there was nothing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim except the Orem. And there was nothing in the Orem except the Sefer Torah and the Luchos HaEvan and the tablets. And the Torah and the tablets are not from this world. They were created before the world was created. And not only that, we see it wasn't even physical, because it states it wasn't Tevis Mokum. For some reason, the Orem did not take up any physical space. And the Torah is called Or. Or is the symbol of something which is non-physical. For example, what is the most physical element of this world? That would be the earth. And as you go get a little further, all right, water. Water is not so physical as earth. And as you get a little further, fire, air. But light already is something which is already non-physical. And especially when it's the Or HaTorah, when we're referring to a spiritual light, not the light which comes from the sun. And therefore, the Orem was called Orem, the Medrash says, Al Shem HaOr. And Torah is called Or. And it's called Or
even though a mitzvah is called ner, Shlema Melech writes, ki ner mitzvah betorah or, because a ner, a candle, has physical element to it. Because a candle, you have to have, if it's a wax candle, it has to have a wax candle with a wick. If it's an oil candle, it has to have a vessel with oil and a wick. This is a candle. Because a mitzvah comes into this world to fulfill it physically. An esreg, a lulav, shchita. You have to fill it with a physical body, with some physical vessel. But the source of all the mitzvahs is the Torah. And the Torah is kula or. It's a spiritual light, which is beyond the parameters and confines of this world. And that was the Oren. The fact is, the Medrash says that not only that the Torah is not the light that the sun gives, but the sun takes its light from the Torah. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayehi Or, when he created the world, where did the light come from? He said the light came from the Oren HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKdoshim. Shemishom Yotzo Or LeOlam. That is the source of the physical light, the spiritual light of the Torah, that came through the Oren. So therefore the Kodesh HaKdoshim was beyond their reach. That was beyond their realm. That was something that had nothing to do with this world. That was belonged to Israel through the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Therefore, they could not reach there. It's for this reason now that we find something interesting. It states that they looked for oil and they could not find any oil that was not made impure by the Yevonim, except they found Pach Echod, one flask, Shoyamunach Beches Meishel Kein Godel, which was under the seal of the Kein Godel. Now, you don't need the seal of the Kein Godel, of the high priest, to tell you that that's kosher oil. Even if that seal was by a Kohen Hedyot, by a regular Kohen, that would have been sufficient. But we see that it was the power of the Kohen Gadol that managed to save this oil from the reaches of the Greek, not of the Kohen Hedyot. And that flask went and it burned for 8 days. Now, why 8 days? Simple reason is because it took 8 days to make new oil. So it had to last for 8 days. But why did it take 8 days to make new oil? Kodesh Baruch Hu could have manipulated things differently. And the fact is, the Gemara, the Rambam brings, until they made new oil. But the Gemara doesn't even mention that. But the Gemara on Shabbos merely says, they found a flask that had enough oil in it to burn for 1 day, and it burned for 8 days. Doesn't give any reasons. So why eight? The answer is because this was the Nitzochon, this was the victory. The war was between the masters at the highest level of wisdom of this world and the sanctification and the endless wisdom of the Torah of Israel. And they had reached into the Heichel, which represented the highest levels of this world. But the victory came from Klal Yisrael's level of beyond this world, that came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that is at the level of eight. And therefore that oil burned for 8 days. And this is why we find that the menorah of Hanukkah has more candles in it than the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. because the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, which is in the Heichal, is representative of this world. This miracle came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now we can understand a little better, and also we see that it came through the mishpochos, through the family of the Kahanim Gedolim. Now we can understand a little better what is this Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. As far as the basic mitzvah, it's sufficient to remember Hanukkah by lighting one candle every day. And we light it for 8 days. But what we want to publicize here, what kind of miracle this was. This was a miracle of 8 days. Not that merely it lasted 8 days. It could have lasted 10 days, it could have lasted 5 days. It lasted that. No. No, the miracle declares itself, in itself declares that this was a miracle at the level of the Shminis. This was a miracle of 8 days. A miracle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought from the highest levels of Torah to this world. And this is what gave the strength to Matishohu and his sons to defeat the army's greatest, the world's greatest armies. This is what gave them the power to rule over the Teva, to rule over the natural forces of the world, because it didn't come from this world, but it came from beyond this world. Therefore it carried an identification, this miracle. And the identification it carried was that of eight. So therefore the Gemara says it's a much greater mitzvah if you can publicize that in your lighting of the candles. When you light one candle, you fulfill the mitzvah, but you're not publicizing what kind of miracle it was. This miracle of prevailing over the natural forces of this world, because it was coming from beyond this world, that these five sons were able to hold off the world's greatest armies. So therefore, you have to publicize, or it's much more beautiful if you will publicize the identification of the miracle. It was a miracle at the level of Shminis of eight. Now, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they have a discussion. How should you publicize it? Beis Shammai says, you light eight candles the first day, seven the next, six the next, and so on. Beis Hillel says, no, you light one candle, and two, and three. Beis Shammai is going after its source. When they found this flask of oil, in this flask of oil, there was the potential for this great miracle. It was in the oil. Already, it had that power in it. It had that brocha where it would burn for 8 days. So therefore he says, the first day is your most important. You should light eight candles. The fact is, every day that goes on, you're getting further and further away from the source. And he compares it to the priachag, to the bullocks of the yontif, because they're also, the first day was the most important kedusha, and after that the rest was drawn from there. Beis Hillel says this is true. However, this is true in the Olam HaNelam, in the concealed world. But we do not live in the concealed world. We live in the Olam HaMaisa, in the Olam HaNigla. We live in a world which is revealed. How do we know the force of something? For example, you have a volcano. It has a potential force of giving forth an enormous explosion. When do we know what force it has? Only after it explodes. And after we see what it did, then we can realize what force it had. Before, it had that force before. That force didn't come from later. The fact is, when by the time we see it, it's already blown itself out. But nevertheless, so that force was there before. But that was in the Olam HaNelam. That's in the invisible world. Not by us. By us it's Seif Maisa is Yechiach Al Tchilas Makshoba. We have to wait for the results and then we see what potential power it beheld. Because we live in this world. In general, you should know there's a strategy in the Machlekes and Beisham and Beisil, that Beisil always favors going after Elam Habo, the more spiritual. And Beisil always favors going after the more practical. The fact is, the Gemara brings, there's Gemara's and Chazals that bring that in the Olam Habo, the Halacha will be like Beis Shammai. So this is what Beisil is saying. You're right. When they found that pach, that flask of oil, it already beheld all of these powers. And when they lit it on the first day, you're right, you should light 8 candles. And every day it diminishes. But we don't live in the Olam HaNelam. We don't live in the concealed world. We are human beings and live in this world. And when do we recognize something? When does it come to us? Seif Maisa will be Yechiach Al Tchilas Makshova. When we see what is done, then we will realize what its potential was. On the first day, we see it burn only one day. On the second day, we see a greater miracle than the first day, because it's burning for a second day. On the third day, we see a greater miracle than the previous days. On the eighth day, we will see the greatest miracle. Even though, if we go after its source is already finished. And therefore, the first day we light one candle, the second day 2 candles, until we build up to 8. And this is the principle of Malin Bekedesh Ben Marim. That when we come to Kedusha, we cannot immediately go to the highest level. We have to wait till each level comes to us and we absorb it little by little. And then we go higher and higher, little by little. We cannot come to that level merely by looking at a flask of oil and explaining that this is the levels it has. When we see it burn for one day and a second day and a third day, we grow with it. Therefore, the first day we light one candle, the second day a second candle, and so forth and so on. So what do we learn from here? We learn that miracles, they come from a force which is beyond the great physical forces of this world. And that's the Keach HaTorah. That's from the power of Torah beyond this world, which is a level of 8 or 9 or 10. And the power of Yisrael comes from that level. And it was with this we were able to prevail and to overthrow this mighty empire. With this light, with this level, with the infinite wisdom the unending wisdom of the Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of the Torah. It was because Klal Yisrael came to that level, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these enormous miracles, the miracles of the overthrowing of this empire, the fighting off of their armies, and with the demonstration of the burning of the oil for 8 days. And through this is how Klal Yisrael were able to carry on, like it's brought for another over 200 years during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We should be zeicher to celebrate a Chanukah Sameach, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to give us his protection and performs such miracles for us. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.